We'd like, my voice is a little scratchy, so I'm sorry. We'd like to call the meeting to order. If you would stand for the Pledge of Allegiance and a moment of silent prayer, we'd appreciate it. If remain standing for a moment of silence. Thank you. The first item is the approval of the agenda. Clerk Swenson.
So we're going to reschedule items under authorizations and bids. Items 5 and 6, we're going to reschedule those two.
Okay. Any other change? Nope. Is that a motion?
To remove?
Yeah.
Okay. Motion to remove items 5 and 6 from the agenda.
Support.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We have the consent agenda. Motion is in order for the July 15th regular meeting, statements and checks and treasurer's report.
So moved.
Support Peterson.
Motion Eldridge, support Peterson. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Winters, did you have a general legal update?
Madam Chair, I'm going to defer my attorney report just under new business before item 16, if that's okay with the board.
All right, thank you. Under old business, we have the second reading of Resolution 2025-20, which is proposed ordinance 2025-510, an ordinance to amend the Charter Township of Ypsilanti Code of Ordinances, Chapter 66, Section 61, entitled Noxious Weeds. Clerk Swanson?
Yep. Charter Township of Ypsilanti proposed ordinance number 2025-510, an ordinance to amend the Charter Township of Ypsilanti Code of Ordinances, Chapter 66, entitled Noxious Weeds. The Charter Township of Ypsilanti hereby ordains that the Charter Township of Ypsilanti Code of Ordinances, Chapter 66, entitled Noxious Weeds, is amended as follows. Delete in its entirety Section 66-61, entitled Definitions, and add the following new noxious weeds provisions to 66-61, definitions as used in this section. For the purpose of this ordinance, weeds shall include Canada thistle, dodders, mustards, wild carrot, bindweed, perennial sow thistle, hoary alyssum, ragweed, poison sumac, and poison ivy, or other plant that, in the opinion of the Township Board, coming under the provisions of Noxious Weeds Act, Public Act 359 of 1941, as amended, is regarded as a common nuisance, with the exclusion of milkweed, effective date, and repeal of conflicting ordinances. All ordinances or parts of ordinances in conflict herewith are hereby repealed. This ordinance shall take effect after publication in a newspaper of general circulation as required by law. So moved.
Support.
So motion and support for the second reading of the resolution and proposed ordinance. Are there questions and comments? Hearing none, we have to do a roll call vote because it's an ordinance. Peterson?
Yes.
Swanson?
Yes.
Stumbo votes yes. Eldridge?
Yes.
Motion carries. Number two is a second reading of Ordinance 2025-511, an ordinance to amend Chapter 62, Article 4, Section 62 through 76A of the Code of Ordinances, Charter Township of Ypsilanti, to adjust a water services rate. The first reading was held at the July 15th, 2025 regular meeting. Clerk Swanson?
Charter Township of Ypsilanti Ordinance Number 2025-511, an ordinance to amend Chapter 62, Article 4, Section 62-76A of the Code of Ordinances, Charter Township of Ypsilanti, to adjust water service rates. Be it ordered by the Charter Township of Ypsilanti that Section 6276A of Chapter 62, Article 4 of the Code of Ordinances be revised as follows. Except as otherwise provided in this section, water to be furnished by the system shall be measured by a meter controlled by the Ypsilanti Community Utilities Authority. For all billings rendered prior to September 1, 2025, existing water service rates shall prevail. For all billings rendered on or after September 1, 2025, charges for water service rates shall be as follows with each bi-monthly period. Readiness to serve rates based on size of meter. Meter size, 5/8 3/4 inches. Water rate, $18.96. 1 inch, $47.39. 1.5 inches, $94.78. 2 inches, $151.65. 3 inches, $473.90. 4 inches, $947.80. 6 inches, $1,895.59. 8 inches, $3,317.28. 10 inches, $5,212.88. 12 inches, $6,160.67. Commodity rate, $4.10 per 100 cubic feet. So moved.
Support.
Motion Swanson. Support Eldridge. Lou, would you like? Not at all.
Can you hear me? Yep, now you can. Thank you. Good evening, Supervisor Stumbo and members of the board. Since the first reading, I would advise the board that the City Council did approve the second reading of the water rate increase in the city on July 15th. I would remind the board that the primary drivers for the increase is definitely due to flat consumption and water usage for quite a few years. We're estimating 2025 usage to come in at or below 2020 usage. Primary drivers for these increases are about $675,000 of increases from Great Lakes Water Authority. Would also remind and advise the board that the 4% promise that GLWA had with suburban communities did come to an end this year. So moving forward, that is a 4% promise, was not contractual, but basically limited 4% increases from a revenue perspective, not necessarily the rate increase to the community. Includes up to $500,000 of professional service increases. We continue to receive, I would say, budgetary stress from an inability to access federal and state funding for capital improvement projects. We spent a significant amount of time trying to access grants and the revolving fund program through the state of Michigan and have been unsuccessful in doing so for the plant and for township related projects. I would also advise the board and remind them that the 5.69% in water rate increase is commensurate with the GLWA rate increase that YSUA received from GLWA, which became effective July 1st of this year. When I do speak about water and sewer rate increases, I kind of do combine those together. This would increase an average cost of a bill for a customer to about $111.80. This is an increase of about $6.05 per bill or $3.02 per month, and would welcome any questions regarding the increase.
Are there any questions from the board? I have one. What if there was a data center? Can you hear me? Probably.
I can hear you, yes.
What is the size of a pipe for, like, a data center that has been talked about? No, nothing's been submitted, I know. Is it 8-inch? Is it 10-inch? Is it 12-inch?
For the data center in the township or the
for
data
the
center?
For water, yeah.
For water?
The cooling water, right?
Actually, no diameter of pipe has been discussed in regards to that project because at this point in time, we received very little information on the demand for that project. The only number that's been shared with the authority was approximately 200,000 gallons per day of water consumption, which could easily be supplied through an 8-inch water main. If that number changes, then, of course, the diameter of the water main would be upsized accordingly.
Okay, thank you. I was just... He said 8-inch, yeah.
Yep.
For the record, Lovejoy Rowe is here. And I forgot Trustee Thornton is not able to make it this evening. I forgot to mention that. Are there any other questions or comments? We have to do a roll call vote. Lovejoy Rowe?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Swanson?
Yes.
Stumbo votes yes. Eldridge?
Yes.
The motion's carried. Number three is the second reading of Ordinance 2025-512, an ordinance to amend Chapter 62, Article 4, Section 6277 of the Code of Ordinances, Charter Township of Ypsilanti, to adjust the sewer service rates. The first reading was held at the July 15, 2025 regular meeting. Clerk Swanson.
Charter Township of Ypsilanti Ordinance Number 2025-512, an ordinance to amend Chapter 62, Article 4, Section 62-77 of the Code of Ordinances, Charter Township of Ypsilanti, to adjust sewage disposal rates. Be it ordered by the Charter Township of Ypsilanti that Section 62-77 of Chapter 62, Article 4 of the Code of Ordinances be revised as follows. For all billings rendered prior to September 1st, 2025, existing sewage disposal service rates shall prevail. For all billings rendered on or after September 1st, 2025, charges for sewage disposal services shall be as follows for each bimonthly period. Readiness to serve rates based on size of meter. Meter size, 5/8 3/4 inches, $19.60. 1 inch, $49.01. 1.5 inches, $98. 2 inches, $156.81. 3 inches, $490.03. 4 inches, $980.07. 6 inches, $1,960.12. 8 inches, $3,430.23. 10 inches, $5,390.35. 12 inches, $6,370.42. Commodity rate, $3.23 per 100 cubic feet. So moved.
Support Peterson.
Motion in Swanson. Support Peterson. Is there a discussion on this? Move.
I would just add, thank you, Supervisor Stumbo, that this is just a piece of the increase that's tied primarily to increased costs at the wastewater treatment plant, a significant amount of aging infrastructure, again, reiterating definitely at the treatment plant, and inability to access state and federal funding for projects that we have started at the wastewater treatment plant, and would welcome any questions.
Luke, can you elaborate on what our latest bond sale was? Since we didn't qualify, they changed the law, and Ipsy Township does not qualify for the revolving funds for water or sewer, and we had to sell bonds recently. It's usually 2%, 2.5%, and the rate we received was 5%. Is that correct?
I think the rate we received through the recent township bond sale was 4.21. I need to double check that. It was just north of 4%, but below 4.5%. Typical interest rates through the revolving fund program are severely subsidized, typically 2 to 2.5%. So when we're able to access that loan program, there's a significant cost savings for those projects of a couple percentage points on the loan. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there may even be loan forgiveness associated with that program, as there has been in previous projects at the wastewater treatment plant. The authority, I believe, has been very aggressive in working with the township to try to access grants and or funds through that program. About 3 years ago, the state law did change the rules for access to that program and various definitions within that program. Since those changes, it has definitely not been beneficial to the township to access those funds. And we've tried. We were making public comment on the upcoming, I'll say, some changes coming to the program that are going to be due at the end of the month. We'll make comments on that. But the law definitely significantly changed the definitions for overburden and significantly overburdened communities, therefore lowering the success rate for the township.
Yeah.
Welcome. Any questions?
I
love you.
I have a general question, and if it's too, you can always answer it later and just say, let me get back to you. That's fine. But just, it seems to me that the pipes are older. There's more trouble with that. So you got to have consistent number of employees for all the breakages and stuff. And that, and I've been reading studies, and we're not the only one, but just, I think it's just people are more conservative. There's, you know, better toilets and all those things. So everybody's using less water. We've switched from a really high industrial country to more of a service country. So I know GM was a big hit. Yucca lost a huge amount of money, I know, along with the township tax base. So my question is kind of like, what do you see like long term? Because and all the costs are going up, you know, electricity, you know, health care. Detroit's charging us more. So what is the long term? Are we expecting like larger increases? I know that you're doing a lot internally to try to cut costs, but I know labor is a huge part, but I do know that you can't get rid of employees when you have more. You know, you still have the same number of customers you got to service, and you've got old lines that take a lot more work than they used to, and not being able to replace them because now you can't get the funding. So, like long term, what do you see like as the big picture for the township and the city in terms of rates and where we're going to go?
It really depends on what area of the system we're talking about, water and or sewer, and what location. Generally speaking, across the United States, this is not just unique to YCUA. Right, right. Southeast Michigan is burdened with this significantly, but definitely significant aging infrastructure. Infrastructure in the township that was installed in the 50s is now approaching 75 years, so the probability of failure is significantly higher. And when we have catastrophic failures in our system, such as we had a few years ago at the Snow Road Pump Station, the cost of rehabilitating that infrastructure is significantly more expensive than being proactive and replacing it through a competitive bidding process, a planning process, the logistics of being able to plan for it. You know, we'll pay every bit of 10 times more to replace a section of pipe versus in an emergency than we would in a planning stage. So we always try to avoid that. The impact on potentially residences' homes, the environment, those are all significant disadvantages to catastrophic failures in our system, whether it be from the water and or wastewater system. In regards to usage, water usage is a very common aspect, and you hit on a couple great topics. Usage has not went up in the YCUA system. We used to have General Motors powertrain and a number of industrial facilities, but specifically GM powertrain that was significant water usage in our system for many years, millions and millions of gallons of water that the authority has still not recovered to that level of consumption. So we do have a large, what I would say, robust water delivery system from Great Lakes Water Authority that at times is inefficient because we're not at or near capacity. So I think we have adequate capacity in the water system for future development. In regards to the sewer system, it's a little different picture. YCUA has accepted wastewater from Western Townships Utilities Authority fully in 2019. So the plant operates at a much more efficient scale than the water system does. Sewer usage has increased over the last 10 years, especially with the addition of those communities and the more commercial growth within those communities, such as Canton. So I think the economies of scale and the treatment plan has been much more efficient. I hope that answers your questions.
Any other questions? Did I do a roll call vote? I didn't. Love doing roll?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Swanson?
Yes.
Stumbovich, yes. And Eldred?
Yes.
The second reading is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. Number one under new business is approved resolution 2025-21 Calvary Baptist Church annual fall festival temporary road closure request.
So move that we approve the resolution 2025-21.
I got to read it first.
I was thinking maybe you didn't have to since our agenda is so long.
Do,
so. We haven't always read.
You can support me after okay. I read it. All right. Resolution number 2025-21, resolution regarding temporary road closure. Resolution authorizing the temporary road closure of Rosewood Street between Davis Street and Ecorse Road for the Calvary Baptist Church Fall Festival from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. on October 18th, 2025. Whereas the Charter Township of Ypsilanti Board of Trustees has approved the temporary road closure of Ypsilanti Township roads as indicated above, and whereas the Driveways, Banners, and Parades Act 200 of 1969 requires the township to authorize an official designated by resolution to make such requests from the Road Commission. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Township of Ypsilanti Board of Trustees designates and agrees that Fred Crothers, Calvary Baptist Church Facility Manager, be the authorized official designee in this instance when application is made to the Washtenaw County Road Commission for this temporary road closure. So moved.
Support.
We have a motion and support. Questions or comments? A question, sir.
Yes. Good evening, Madam Chair, and to the rest of the trustee board members. My name is Avery Brown. I am the senior pastor of Whitehead Cathedral Church in the Willeron, West Willow neighborhood. And I just wanted to piggyback on the resolution you all are just getting ready to approve. We have the same request that's being made before you all for you to consider for tonight, adding on your agenda. We've been before the Road Commission. We have support of three of the commissioners. They asked us to come to this meeting. This is the last part of our application that's needed so that we can get this done. We're having a Praise in the Park community gathering September the 14th. We're requesting that Studebaker and Buick Street between Chevrolet and Tyler Road be closed between 2 and 7 p.m. on the 14th for a block party along with the Praise in the Park that's being produced by the church. So if you would consider, there's a few of our board members here from the church that came with me. If you all could please stand. So,
thank you for coming.
If you could consider.
I'm so sorry. I sound like a frog. Debbie, did you? And, okay. We would have to have it at a special meeting since the request hasn't been in time for this meeting. I don't know. Did you hear me?
I can hear you. Okay. We did send a communication electronically prior to our attendance here.
Yeah.
I know we were told that this special meeting that you all are going to have, it's after the event, the next time you all will have a meeting. And so that's what pushed us. That's the impetus of us being here tonight to see if you would consider.
I don't have the information in front of me to do that. And usually the agenda is, the deadline was Wednesday, but if we could get it, we could maybe add it. Or I didn't bring the information, the email with me. I think we got it Sunday, is that when?
Yeah, I think we sent it to you by email.
Yeah, Sunday. I've been.
So there's no way to open it up electronically.
If I could get.
We also like usually the process is like this one tonight goes to the Road Commission for application after they receive this step. And then the Road Commission has to know there's a couple things. They have to have confirmation that the applicant has a plan for police presence
All of that was sent to you all electronically. We have the support of the sheriff. We have all of the schematics, the layout. We have the insurance with the township listed as one of the insured parties. We've done all the other steps. The only thing we're missing is the support from the resolution.
It was after the agenda was published.
Being built. So if you want to schedule a special meeting.
That's what I was saying. We could schedule a special meeting.
I was just going to make a comment.
Of course.
Is it possibly that maybe we could get this stuff together? If you send it electronically and has all that, that we could just add it if everybody agrees to the end of our agenda? Maybe between now we can take a break or something? I don't know.
Madam Chair.
Is that something that makes sense?
No, don't just.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm done.
You're done? Okay. Madam Chair, can I ask the pastor, Reverend White? I know your dad.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
Was it submitted to the county, your plans, and when was it submitted?
On the 5th.
5th of what?
Of August.
Of August. Did you get a response from them?
Yeah, I actually went before them. Okay. I stood before them, and they told me exactly.
And you submitted it to the township on Sunday?
Yeah, but here's the problem.
Okay.
It wasn't a delay like that. We have had some other meetings, and we did the calling, and they said, come to this meeting. So that's what we did. It wasn't
who
that there we were
meeting?
Procrastinating.
The county did?
There was a person that's familiar with the trustee board that's on our board, and so we were told to come here.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
We need to vote on this issue, and we could go look for this email for Sunday or call. I thought calling a special meeting would be. Unless we can get all the information. So special meeting? Okay. All right. So we need to vote on the motion that is before us. And then for you, Pastor, we'll call it special meeting to consider the request before your event so that you can get it.
I appreciate that.
All right, you're welcome.
Thank you.
So we have a motion and support. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number two is approval of the golf cart rates for 2025 golf season at Green Oaks Golf Cart.
So moved.
Support.
Motion Rowe, support Eldridge. Did you? Kirk?
Good evening. Kirk Sherwood, PGA Director of Golf, Green Oaks. Due to the price of the new five-year lease, we're requesting authorization to increase the cart rates next year to offset that. Estimated on an average of 30,000 rounds, we roughly came up with $3 for the 18-hole rate and $2 for the 9-hole rate.
They're competitive, right?
Yes.
Any other questions or comments? So this is just for people who are riding on a cart. If you there's no increase, correct?
Correct. There is no increase for the walking fee on this.
All right. There's a motion and support. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number three is to approve a five-year lease agreement with Golf Cars Plus Yamaha in the amount of $80,205.56, which is budgeted contingent upon attorney approval.
So moved.
Support.
All right. Good evening. We're looking to authorize the request for a new five-year lease with Yamaha Golf Cars Plus. The fee has come up to close to more than double, which was, again, the reason to raise cart rates for next year. We are, however, going from 68 carts to 72 carts, and we also are getting two utility vehicles for our maintenance department to use in the lease, which was basically about a $7,000 difference per year. So as part of that fee that went up, it's about $7,000 per year for that. And again, there will be a whole brand new fleet, though, for the next 5 years. Our relationship with Yamaha has been really good. They have helped us out when we needed help, and they've been there when they needed to be. Compared it to another price with Club Car, they were very comparable, and feel that moving forward with the lease being up in October, we would like to move forward with it, with the new fleet coming in, I believe, in November.
All right. Questions or comments from anyone? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number two is approved. The 2025-2026 contract with Washaw Community College for buildings use at the Ypsilanti Township Community Center.
I would so move that we approve the contract.
Motion, Rowe.
Support.
Eldridge. To approve the contract. Mr. Hines, is there any?
Good evening, John Hines, Municipal Service Director. So before you is the 2025-2026 contract proposal from WCC to utilize the community center off Clark Road. The only difference in the contract this year compared to years past is Washtenaw Community College has not been able to secure their year-round funding, only partial funding. So the agreement is only through January 2026, and it is for a rate of $10,000, which does go in hand with what they have done the last year of their contract, which was $30,000 for the entire year. This is for one quarter for $10,000. They hope to secure the funding by the time, of course, January gets here, and then at that time, the rec department will bring back a additional proposal to add on the additional 9 months of the agreement.
Questions or comments? They're concerned about the federal funding?
At this point, usually they've been approved for it, and just with the process is taking for a lot of federal funding, they've not been approved yet. So they can only guarantee the program through January at this time.
And this is English as a second language and GED classes as well.
Yep, for use, yep, in the 300 hallway, 301, 303, and 305.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Number five is Resolution 2025-22, Revision to Water Sewer Subsidy Program. Clerk Swanson.
Charter Township of Ypsilanti Resolution Number 2025-22, Revision to Water Sewer Subsidy Income Levels, whereas Ypsilanti Township has established a water and sewer bill subsidy program for the township citizens of limited income, and whereas Ypsilanti Township adopts the following guidelines for the supervisor's office to implement. The guidelines shall include but not be limited to the specific income and asset levels of the claimant and all persons residing in the household filed in the immediately preceding year. Number one, all household income cannot exceed 30% of the median income for Ann Arbor, Washtenaw County, as published annually by the Michigan State Housing Development Authority for Section 8 housing vouchers. The most recently available guidelines shall be used by the supervisor's office. Two, a copy of the applicant's completed and signed federal income tax return, if required to file, and or Michigan Homestead Property Tax Credit Claim 1040 CR and/or Social Security statement for the prior year must be submitted for the application to be considered. Additionally, a copy of the prior year federal income tax return for any other occupant of the homestead is required. Three, applicants are requested to black out all references to Social Security numbers prior to submitting their necessary paperwork. Four, water sewer subsidies must be applied for each year. If a subsidy is granted, it is for 1 year only. Five, applicants must reside in the Charter Township of Ypsilanti and be the property owner. Verification of this shall be completed when application is submitted. Six, the subsidy shall show on the applicant's Ypsilanti Community Utilities Authority bill as a $45 credit. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Supervisor's Office shall follow the above stated policy in granting and denying subsidies unless the supervisor determines there are substantial and compelling reasons why there should be a deviation from the policy, and these are communicated in writing to the claimant. So moved.
Motion Swanson.
Support.
Support Eldridge. Is there discussion? We've been doing this for like 25 years in Ypsilanti Township, and it's to assist people with the water and sewer bill. It was $20 in 2023. We increased it to $40, and this increases it to $45, and it's a bi-monthly water bill that and sewer bill that we get. But this is one way to help when we increase utility rates on our water and sewer. We can help our residents here. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number six, to accept the grant from the Washoe County in the amount of $200,000 for the senior center operation or services paid for from the older person's service millage.
So moved that we accept the grant.
Support Peterson.
Motion Rowe. Support Peterson. Discussion. This is exciting, but it's hard to explain. And the senior millage that was approved countywide, they allocated $200,000 to senior centers to help and make improvements here. You can use them for operations as well. And I think the millage is good for how many years? 10? How long was the millage? Do you remember?
I don't know. I know it's a mill.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. And so this is going to be helpful. And then you can still apply for more grants if you have more needs in your senior center. So I'm happy to see this for our senior centers. And we have a motion and support. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number seven is approve the L40-29-2025 tax rates.
So moved.
Motion Eldridge.
Support.
Support Swanson to approve. This sets the rate for the 2026 budget. Are there questions or comments?
I had a question.
Yeah.
I know that there was a rollback of the general operating fund, which I don't ever remember happening, and I was just wondering, like, can those dollars in that, can those be used for, like, other things like roads or sidewalks, or can the general operating, because I never remember it being rolled back. I know we use it for, like, Treasury and collection, and
they've been reduced by Headley. We have reduced it.
Yeah, I know from Headley, but this isn't a Headley rollback, is it?
No, it's not. We just reduced it. We just proposed.
I was just wondering if those operating funds, which I know is approved by state statute, and I know that they're for like administration and taxes and.
General operations.
Didn't know if it could be used for like other items that are really needed that we don't have the money for. That's why.
So you want to increase that? is what maybe?
Just, yeah, to leave it what, you know, what it has been instead of reducing it because there's so many needs.
The 2024 was 0.9726, and we have it at 0.9680, so it's not that much difference. We can relook at, this is a preliminary mm-hmm. one, so I can, we can do the budget, but we can look at it again. It's not, I don't know, for some reason it doesn't get press, of course, but reducing millages, when you have the authority to levy them all, is a good thing for our community, and this is the third year we've reduced our taxes in order to help with the economic conditions, but we can look at that again. I mean, a tenth of a mil would be...
No, it's not earth-shaking, but it's like a 100,000, right? I just thought, I know we have a lot of needs, bike paths, parks, roads, like there's so many roads that... And I know that on a lot of things, like road especially, we put that 100,000 somewhere where there's a bunch of cracks. It's going to save us a lot more money, you know, down the road. So that's all.
Yeah, well, we can bring it back to increase. It's just this is, we can look at it and see, and it is about 100,000 for the general operating.
Yeah, I just thought for each resident, it's probably pennies. And so I just thought, but when you put it together, $100,000 can do a road,
yeah.
One road.
And we could have levied everything, but we chose not to. I recommended it. It's not. It's up to the board.
Yeah, and I understood the other ones, like the police. I mean,
well, they increase.
Got these fund balances.
Right.
It's crazy to keep levying, but
yeah. Okay, so do you want to? We have a motion to report to approve. Do you want me to table it?
Should I do an amendment or?
Well, I'd have to figure out the math on it right now.
You said if you wanted to bring it back, I don't know. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would take. This is the preliminary one. Yeah. It'd be easier.
Well, the actual one that's voted is 1.1160, so I don't know how the other board members feel, but you could just say that, change that number to 1.1160 from the 0.9726. I'll make that amendment. If people agree, I'll get a support and we'll vote on it. That we change the operating mill back to what it was, all, you know, the original amount to 1.1180.
It hasn't been 1.16 in a long time, because they roll it back every year.
But would it be rolled back now, though?
It's not a voted millage. It's a.
I know.
I was just.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm open to doing something. We can table it if you want for a special.
Do you have time to table it? Because I know it has to be done by a certain time. No.
Well. We're just starting to do the budget for this year.
Well, then I'd move to table it.
Is a motion to table it?
Support.
Support Eldred. No discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. This is tabled. We're going to call a special meeting. For anyway. All in favor? Did I say that?
Yeah.
All right. Number eight is Number eight is approve agreement with Washtenaw County Road Commission for a pedestrian crossing at the intersection of Tuttle Hill Road and Merritt Road in the amount of $55,200, which is budgeted and contingent on a budget amendment.
So move.
Support Peterson.
Motion Rowe. Support Peterson. Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Number nine is to set a public hearing for the 2025 special assessment roll to be held September 16, 2025.
Momo Peterson.
Support.
Motion Peterson. Support Roe. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Number 10 is approve litigation to abate public nuisance at 7235 Muirfield Drive.
Support.
Motion Eldred. Support Rowe. Belinda.
Good evening, Board. Belinda Kingsley, Community Compliance Director. The house that we're discussing, 7235 Muirfield, is a single-family home that came to the ordinance department's attention this spring due to uncut tall grass and weeds. Upon investigation, it appeared to be vacant, and since that time, we have discovered that the owner has essentially abandoned the house and has is letting it go back to foreclosure, or go to foreclosure, I'm sorry. No longer lives in Michigan. We have done administrative search warrant in the house this month and discovered that there's standing water in the basement, mold growth, and essentially the house is being left to deteriorate, and we'd like to request approval for litigation to bring this house into compliance with whoever is listed as the current owner.
Are there questions and or comments?
It's just terrible.
It's sad. It's
so unhealthy, too.
It's beautiful, huh?
The mold was crazy.
And we did have a Orkin inspection at the house, too, so that process is underway.
We have a motion to support. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number 11 is to approve the litigation to abate public nuisance at 2490 Packard Road, which is budgeted.
So move.
Motion Rowe.
Support.
Support Eldridge.
Okay, this is also a single family home that has been utilized as a rental for a number of years. We've had quite a few complaints from neighbors regarding the conditions at the property. Been in communication with the property owner trying to resolve them, and have not, we have made progress for the last couple of years on minor complaints that we had, but so far this year we've had 5 complaints since the beginning of the year, and need to do something to bring it into compliance. Essentially, the complaints have been from the neighbors and documented by ordinance department. There's blight with trash and furniture, unlicensed inoperable vehicles, utility trailers, motorhomes, campers, ATV vehicles, and they park on the lawn instead of in the driveway. They block the street. We have issued 2 citations in district court, which were ruled in our favor, resolved some of the issues temporarily, but they're sliding back to where they were before we went to district court. So we'd like to get approval to bring this action into litigation also.
Questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion is approved. Number 12 is approved. Thank you, Belinda. Approve 14B District Court Bailiff job description and duties.
So moved.
Support.
Motion Eldridge. Support. Well, John, Mr. Newman.
Yeah. I thought that was Karen.
Gloria, me.
Sorry.
Because at the same time, she can have the honors.
Yeah. Say her name.
Treasurer Eldridge.
Briefly, just for the audience and the board, as you can see, we still have a $5 million renovation going on next to us in the court. There was a grant obtained from the state of Michigan a couple of years back. As a part of that, the judge at that time and the current judge, along with the magistrates, were seeking enhanced security in the building. That was the premise behind the grant. A part of that is new security measures are going into the building, not only scanners and for body scans and bags and everything else going in. It's going to require us to move from our current 1 bailiff on duty per day. We're going to move up to 3 on duty to handle both courtrooms and the scanning. This is really no different than what this court's done for the last 40 years as far as its security with personnel. just going from 1 to 3. We did meet with the current sheriff at Washtenaw County and her jail commander. They had questions as to possibly using their staff and personnel to do that. Economically, it just didn't work. It was considerably more to do that, and actually we were going to get less coverage within the building. So this really is just putting that job description into place for the people that are already there, and over the next several weeks they'll look to add a couple more to get their allotment of 6 in, where they'll have 3 on duty at any given time. This makeup will save the township roughly $92,000 doing it this way.
Questions or comments? These are part-time.
They're going to work roughly 40 hours biweekly, 80 hours a month. No benefits, no legacy cost to the township.
Like Stan says, we currently have bailiffs at 14B, but because we added the scanner and the conveyor belt, then it'll be like all the other courts that people go through.
Right.
And the rate is $30 an hour? You don't...
Yeah, it's a flat rate. It's roughly 25 or 28 right now. The rate going elsewhere would have been almost $45 an hour, and we would not have been able to control that cost going forward. This gives us some autonomy to control costs as well.
And we expect the court to open...
We hope it'll be the third week in September. They're planning a public grand opening so they can show the new building in the middle of October. It will take them some time to move back in and get off of the virtual that they're doing quite a bit right now. And it also gives us time to get this construction out front on the parking lot completed as well.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number 13 is approve the firearm policy for Township Fire Chief and Fire Marshal to be sworn by the Washtenaw County Sheriff's Office to the special deputy classification. Any expenses related to this will be budgeted in line item 206-336-960000.
So moved.
Support Peterson.
Motion Eldridge, support Peterson. Our fire chief couldn't scheduled off, so he couldn't be here today. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number 14 is to cancel the number 4/2025 Board of Trustees meeting due to the countywide WISD increase millage.
Still move Peterson.
There's also going to be a Belleville or Van Buren. I think it's $1 million, isn't it? It's a brand new on top.
Okay.
Yep. So we have a motion and support. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number 15 is budget amendment number 10. Swanson.
Motion to amend the 2025 budget number 10, move to decrease the general fund budget by $387,482 to $21,006,024 and approve the department line item changes as outlined. Move to increase the fire fund budget by $1,499,428 to $7,000.
$97,447 and approve the department line item changes as outlined. Move to increase the hydro station fund by $5,634 to $819,897 and approve the department line item changes as outlined. So moved.
Motion Swanson.
Support.
Support Eldridge. Questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. As we talked in the beginning of the meeting, the attorney report, Mr. Winter.
Madam Chair, board members, this report this evening will concentrate on what has transpired subsequent to our last board meeting on July 15th in regards to plans of U of M and Los Alamos to locate what they have referred to as two high performance computing and AI research centers on Bridge and Textile Road. And it's been said by many other persons, besides maybe myself this evening, that everybody is entitled to their own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts. So what I would like to do this evening is to at least factually report to the Township Board as to what the Township's three full-time officials, the Planning Director, and myself have done since that July 15th meeting, and also acknowledge the receipt of additional emails from trustees Roe and Larisha Thornton, as well as Mr. Newman and Ms. Gloria. All those have played a role in this report this evening, and I'd like to acknowledge that before I get into the actual details. At the outset, we've talked, the board has heard, it's reflected in tonight's board meeting. It's also referenced in this resolution. The township has yet to fully recover from what occurred back in 2008. In 2008, we had a recession followed by, in 2009, the bankruptcy of General Motors. And for those of us who grew up under the shadows of the General Motors plants and whose parents and relatives and ourselves worked there one time or another, no one ever thought we would see the day where General Motors would file bankruptcy. That is exactly what happened in 2009. And so from that time until 2016, all of the General Motors properties came under the receivership of the bankruptcy court, and they were eventually deeded over to Racer Trust. And Racer Trust had the responsibility to not only oversee and manage those properties, but to also, from an environmental standpoint, ensure they were going to be remediated, because the goal of Racer Trust was to ensure that those properties would be repurposed and later reclaimed and reused so as to offset the devastating financial impact that hit those communities, one of which was Ypsilanti Township. And so in 2016, the property at General Motors Hydromedic, which, by the way, many of you may or may not have seen in person, it consists of over 300 acres. That property was remediated, and there were measures put in place by the federal government to ensure that future users, be it purchasers or lessees, would have environmental liability protection because of the site being cleaned up. They would not have any potential legacy costs if those properties were actually repurposed. In 2016, Ypsilanti Township, especially Supervisor Brenda Stumbo, At that time also, I believe, was the clerk here in LaJoy Row, myself, and others, spent countless hours dealing with what is referred to as the Willow Run Arsenal of Democracy. They are the actual owners of the 300 acres of property. That property was subsequently leased to the American Centers for Mobility, and while they have struggled to meet their mission statement since 2016, the mission statement has not changed. That is the area in Ypsilanti Township with a focus for innovation, technology. It wasn't called the Arsenal of Democracy by accident. It was designed to be at the forefront of technology improvements going forward from 2016 on. When the township first became aware of U of M's desire to locate these two high-performance research centers on Bridge and Textile Road, none of us were aware as to what was going to come from the application until we started doing some more research of our own. And after the July 15th meeting, we started going backwards in time to figure out exactly what transpired that led up to this request or their plans to move forward. The University of Michigan, in my opinion, participated in a very classic, what I refer to as a bait and switch, before the Michigan Economic Development Corporation on December 10th, 2024. And what I mean by bait and switch, they appeared before that board on that date, and they requested of that board through the Michigan Strategic Fund to grant the university $100 million to build the Los Alamos Laboratory in Ypsilanti Township. In reviewing their documents, going back in time, the story that they told on that date is far different from what the story they told us on July 24th. That was a date that we met with the university for the first time, and I'll get to that in a moment. But in the December 10th minutes board packet of the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, the university said that they plan to locate on a 20-acre property in Ypsilanti Township, and that furthermore, they were going to anticipate constructing a new electrical substation near the site with two-thirds of the capacity supporting their project and one-third for community benefit. That was their presentation to the MEDC. I'm not paraphrasing. I'm reading exactly from what they submitted to the MEDC. And based upon that application, based upon that record, and based upon the fact that they also attached to their application when they were asked to explain the degree to which this project is a priority for the local government or economic development organization, they said Ann Arbor Spark has expressed their support for this project. In no time did they ask this township board what their thoughts were in regards to this project, in regards to this location, in regards to this $100 million grant. We didn't sign on to this grant. So they went ahead and they got approved at that meeting for $100 million. Again, for a 20-acre site at the corner of Bridge and Textile Road. Now, what happened almost immediately after that is a few months later, I guess it was probably the spring, the University of Michigan Board of Regents at one of their meetings authorized the purchase of an additional 124 acres also on Textile Road for this Computational Intelligent Research Center, which, by the way, according to the Vice President of the University of Michigan Government Relations, Chris Kolb, in his words, was the biggest, baddest, fastest computer in the world, okay? So after they got approved for the 20-acre site by citing Spark as their basis for local support, they're now acquiring 124 additional acres. Putting aside for the fact that there was a bait and switch, because they never disclosed that when they went to the MEDC. They never talked to the township board about this. And also putting aside the fact for two meetings, this township board has been told they picked this site because we're pushovers, we're easy. I think it's been pointed out by board members, nothing could be further from the truth. This board is not a pushover. This board has stood tall for years in areas of the environment. We participated legally to prevent the toxic landfill from coming to Augusta Township. We signed on to also support financially Van Buren Township's efforts. They sought to bring in additional toxic material from New York. We've also stood tall with not only our environment, but also with the workers in our community. The living wage ordinance was passed for the first time in Washtenaw County in Ypsilanti Township. So to be on this board as their attorney for all these years, and also being involved in the fight led by the township against General Motors, that they could not just walk away from a commitment, from a tax abatement. This township board and its predecessors is anything but a pushover. So after the 124 acres, and keep in mind that right next to the 20 acres is the only access there is to the township's South Hydro Park. So they leapfrogged over our access road to acquire the 120 acres. So I'm not sure how they expect to deal with that issue. I do know this, that South Hydro Park is part of our long-term plans for a preserve park. And I do know that while it may not equate to the Mathai Botanical Gardens, I also know that U of M owns property next to the Mathai Botanical Gardens. But I rest assured they would not attempt to do over there what they're proposing to do over here, right on the banks of the Huron River, near Ford Lake, near the Ford Hydro Station, that also would take away years and years of very, very mature trees from this site. Again, some of the comments have been totally misdirected at the wrong target. This township board does not control U of M in the standpoint of zoning and site plan. They can do what they want to do from a legal standpoint because we don't have any say-so in regards to their zoning. That lies with the state of Michigan. At the same time, they have refused to even contribute towards the police and fire costs this township incurs on a daily basis. We have a lot of firefighters that come to our meetings. They've responded to a record number of fires this year. And to have a university, one of the wealthiest universities in the country, one of the wealthiest probably in the world, with their endowment fund being over $1 billion alone, to have them sit there in the room and tell us that we don't have to pay for police and fire or millage because we are a political subdivision exempt from any local taxes. It's shameful. No question about that. And I, too, have done my own AI research, and I know right now, if you can go and search it on your own, you may already know this, but these computational centers are also considered to be high-value targets. They're high-value targets, especially in the sense that they're going to be doing a lot of national defense security work. So they are high-value targets, which also is another reason why they should not be located near our Ford Lake Dam. But So what happens after you find out all this information? So you find all this out. Well, Supervisor Stumble, full-time officials, Treasurer Eldridge, and Clerk Swanson tried to set up a meeting as soon as possible. The soonest that we could meet was July 24th. We also met that day with Congresswoman Dingell and also with our planning director. So what happened during that meeting? Well, today you received, I think, an email from Chris Kolb saying that they want to be transparent. They want to share everything with you. They want to do all these things from A to Z. The only problem is they won't do that because they are, quote unquote, still operating under a non-disclosure agreement. So on one hand, you want to be transparent, but when you ask questions about location, size, setbacks, all these things that go into a site plan review under a non-disclosure agreement, and basically that's their polite way of saying, it's really none of your business, and we don't have to tell you. That's what they're really saying. So they left the meeting, well, before they left the meeting, we asked during the meeting, if what you're saying is true, if this really is a matter of national security, and this really is a high, high priority for the state of Michigan, as reflected in you receiving a $100 million grant, and you having contracts to perform additional research on behalf of the Department of Energy at the federal government level, then why would you not locate these centers on the property formerly occupied by General Motors? That would be the place to take those two operational centers. They're not going to disturb trees. The environment has been cleaned up. The water coming in from Detroit actually comes into that property, and the pump stations that would service that property, if they were located there, can handle that. They said, well, to our surprise, they said, well, we spent 18 months trying to make that deal with ACM, and we were not able to make it happen. And I don't know whose face dropped quickest, ours or Congresswoman Dingell, because none of us were aware. They had been negotiating for 18 months to try and acquire acres over on the General Motors property to locate these two centers. Nobody told us at one time. And so even though we thought we had a good suggestion, they said, well, we've already been down that path. Well, don't say we, because we were not in the room and we were not at the table. We should have been, but we were not. So we, before the meeting was over, we demanded, they go back and resume these negotiations with ACM, but that this time around, they actually include Ypsilanti Township, the governor's office, our state and local representatives, and those who actually, I think, know how to negotiate. The township officials and myself also reached out to what I believe is probably the most qualified environmental attorney in the United States, or one of the best anyways, in this whole area, Grant Trigger. I say that because he was the environmental attorney, the Carey member also, that was hired by Racer Trust. His tenure with Racer Trust has ended, and he does not have any conflicts and can assist the township in providing us with the necessary environmental expertise in regards to this issue, especially as it pertains to the relocation from the Bridge Road Textile Road site over to the property formerly occupied by General Motors, which again was where this type of technology was supposed to go from the very get-go. So at this point in time, we have continued to also reach out to ACM saying, well, if U of M reaches back out, will you agree to sit back down with U of M and negotiate? And this time around, put us in. We want to be at the table. So they have a meeting. And when we called to find out how your first meeting went, they said, we can't tell you. We signed another non-disclosure agreement. So the circle continues to go round and round and round. This is not the way a university of this stature should act. It's not the way this township board acts. If we have a policy that we enact that people don't agree with, we can respect that. But we don't tell you it's secret. It's non-disclosure. You can't come here. So what you're hearing tonight in my attorney report to the board, they may be hearing, some of them may be hearing for the first time, this is everything, not everything, but this is everything I've told you so far is what has occurred during the last 6-7 weeks. I have spent countless hours on the phone with State Representative Jimmy Wilson. He, too, is of the strong opinion this should not go on Bridge Road, Textile Road, but should go to the ACM property. We've also been told other people at the state level feel the same way. But it doesn't do any good for everybody to feel that way if they will not let us to participate in those negotiations. If you have two parties that spent 18 months trying to negotiate a deal and they failed to do so, why should I feel confident that those same two parties today can make a deal when they couldn't do it for 18 months when we didn't know about it? We're not the enemy. We could help make that happen. We have the expertise. We have the knowledge. We have the history. Some say we have too much passion. That's okay, too. But at the same time, this is our community, and we think we know ourselves. So that is the backdrop as to why the resolution was prepared. And at the same time, I also want to make it clear to the board that this weekend, aside from working on other issues pertaining to this, talking to state officials, I also spent a great deal of time talking to law enforcement officials, the Washington County Sheriff, the fire department, the fire marshal, the fire chief, on issues that took place at the residences of four of the township board members. Now, nobody in this audience has ever been denied the right to come to the podium or to the mic and make their statement or their feelings known about the so-called data centers, computational centers, AI centers. No one's been denied a right to speak. But at the same time, you don't have a right to go onto private property in an effort to intimidate, bully, and harass township officials. You don't have the right to do that. And when you go up to a young person who's got a lot of other issues to deal with right now and ask that young person, is this the home of the supervisor? And she says, yes, but she's sick. Leave her alone. And you still go up to that house, that's wrong. You cross the line. At the same time, when that same young person is trying to back out, who doesn't have a mirror in the car to see who's behind her, and you block the driveway, that's wrong. When you go to Treasurer Eldridge's home, harass his wife, wrong. John Newman, wrong. Same thing with Gloria Peterson. So we respect people's rights to question us, hold us accountable, the board. They hold me accountable as the attorney. And I will always give them my best advice. But at the same time, there's a line that you just don't cross. In regards to this resolution tonight, I think what it does, it tries to at least tell the story as best as this township can as to what we have gone through to bring this resolution to this point, to formally go on record of opposing those centers at that location, but also directing that that effort be put into going to where they should have gone to begin with, the ACM property. That's where the state of Michigan, and they should be involved in this. If someone comes to you and say, I need $100 million to build this National Defense Laboratory, and you say, okay, I'll do that for you, I think they have a right, and they should have demanded a right to sit at the table to negotiate where it's going to go. especially now that they know that what they were told on December 10th, 2024 is not true. It was never going to go on a 20-acre site. That was, again, the Trojan horse to get the $100 million, and now they've leapfrogged over, and we have to deal with the aftermath. We understand the ecosystem. We understand the species, the habitat. The Tisch Township Board has spent sometimes, I think, tens of thousands of dollars to have to relocate, I think, was it a tree frog we had to relocate? It was a tree frog from one of the properties because of the Natural Species Environment Act. We've done our fair share of making sure that the environment is protected as best as we can. And I'm proud to have been on this board as their attorney for all these years to see a lot of those fights and battles go. Well, is this one that we're going to win? I don't know. We're going to give everything we have. We're not going to lay down. We're not a pushover. We got the best environmental person, if the board approves tonight, to be a consultant on this project with me. But at the same time, we don't take no for an answer. At the same time, we do demand and we'll give respect to everybody here, but it has to also, that's a two-way street. But that is the essence of my report this evening, Madam Chair. If there's any questions that the board has of me in regards to what I said in regards to leading up from the June meeting until July 15th and tonight's meeting, I'm more than glad to answer those.
Madam Supervisor?
Yeah.
Thanks, Doug. That was great. I'm real happy about what's going on. Excited. Thank you for your work and stuff. Sorry to get too emotional, but let me ask my question first before I make a comment later. Because when we talked about trying to claw back, have they got that $100,000 or $100 million in the bank? And if not, is it possible to claw that back?
I don't think they have received the $100 million yet. It's supposed to be, the way I read the documents, it's supposed to be used for the construction and site readiness for the Los Alamos National Laboratory, the way I read it. In talking with the state officials that I've spoken to, I've got two different versions. One says if they were to locate on the ACM property, the $100 million would go with them. If they were going to go elsewhere, they would have to come back to the MEDC board. But I do know that the MEDC people that I've talked to were not aware on December 10th that 20 acres was going to morph into what now is 144 acres.
Thank you. Do we need a motion to support the resolution or not? We're going to read it first.
No. Well, yeah. That was just a turn. That was the attorney's report.
All right. Well, then I'll speak to this if I could. Can I continue?
Of course.
I just, to hear about going to people's homes with everything that's happened in our country and the fear that you shouldn't have to run for office and be fearful for your family. I mean, we sign up, okay? You can come here, you can cuss us out, you can do, you know, and we've been cussed out over the years. But to go to people's houses and stuff, especially, we've had elected officials in the last few years that have been murdered across our country. So to try to intimidate and to bully, that's just, it's more than wrong. I don't know what the word is for it, but please, you know, the folks are here in their offices every day. Come over here. You don't need to come to their houses, okay? It's just, it's wrong. It's just outright wrong. And yeah, can you go on the public street? I don't know what all the laws are. Maybe you can, that's fine. But to actually come to someone's house when their family's there, you know, some people got young kids or they, like, I take care of my grandkids all the time. It's just wrong. And it just goes, and I'm so sorry that happened to y'all, you know, because it ain't right. That's all there is to it. It's not right. And believe me, I've had my opposition with all these folks up here. We don't agree on everything. We ran against each other sometimes. But I don't care who you are. That is just not right. And whoever did that, shame on you.
Thank you, Karen.
I just have a question. The data center, is that owned by U of M with the idea of selling it to Los Alamos?
From what I know, it's a partnership. It's a collaboration. They're going to be two separate proposed AI centers. One is going to be working on classified governmental research. U of M, I believe, is working on more of a science and medicine research. So I don't think the two, while they're going to be side by side, they're going to be staffed by different scientists, different engineers, either on-site or remotely, but they're going to be a joint collaboration. That's how it was presented to the MEDC.
And one more question. So Los Alamos could not have done this by themselves without going through a university which has just eminent domain powers.
Well, they're also a nonprofit, because they've also been doing contract work for the Department of Energy at the federal level for the last maybe 25, 30 years, a long time. I think right now you've seen a partnership form over the last 15 years between U of M and Los Alamos. Again, if you got, all of you know this, we've been in negotiations ourselves. We've all been part of what we call non-disclosure agreements during a period of time when you can't publicly talk about what's going on. We understand non-disclosure agreements can be appropriate and be utilized in a very professional manner. What I don't understand is that when we as the host community that negotiated for the ACM to come to reality, and all of you up here, I know that Brenda remembers this, and Stan remembers this, and Karen remembers this. We went to Washtenaw County because they had to approve a Renaissance zone for that property. So we understand what non-disclosure means. It's just that right now, they are using it to, in my opinion, make a mockery when they say they want to be transparent and want to be engaging, because it's like, we don't trust you. You can trust them. I mean, we're the ones that basically are kept in the dark for all this time period. So I don't understand why we can't be included when we're the host community and we're the ones that got the Renaissance Zone that even makes some of these, that ACM even possible today, because they don't have to pay taxes. They pay a payment in lieu of, they pay for police and fire, but they don't pay what they would pay but for the Renaissance Zone. And so, again, you'll never hear me say that a non-disclosure agreement is not appropriate. It's just that right now, we can be trusted to honor that, but we have to be involved at the table, and they will not allow us to do that.
Okay. I'm just going to talk, if I could. When we did the American Center for Mobility,